The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Jesus' parents brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. Revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children ages 3 through 10 are invited to join Miss Katie for story time. They'll return at the piece.
I speak to you in the name of the one holy and living God. Amen. It has been a week, and I'm glad we're here. You never know whom you will meet when you enter a temple, or how that meeting will change your life. Who or what prompted you to be here today? Did you come seeking peace? Is it a friend? Some deep hunger? God? Whom will you meet here? How will your life be changed? Since the 4th century, the church has set aside February 2nd as a feast, the presentation of our Lord in the temple. The gospel is rich in detail. February 2nd is 40 days after Christmas, after childbirth. And according to the law of Moses, all mothers are to go on that day for ritual purification, the presentation of a firstborn son. Mary and Joseph go to the temple out of obligation to fulfill the law. And there they encounter Simeon and Anna, each of whom is ancient, has been padding about the temple for years upon years, offering their prayers, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem, preparing their hearts so they might recognize the Messiah when the hour comes, as indeed it does. Recently come from the manger in Bethlehem, we can only imagine the experience for Mary and Joseph as wise old Simeon rejoices that their child is the Christ, singing what we now know as the Nunc Dimittis, meaning now let us depart, foretelling of the piercing of Mary's heart and soul, and Anna too, rejoicing in the belovedness of Christ. And at the heart of the story, Jesus changes the lives of each and all by his presence. How did the young couple feel on the walk home that day? We have much on our hearts and minds today, you and I. We've come here for many reasons. We come seeking quiet, or connection with others, nourishment at the table, or in song. We come to be challenged, or strengthened, or reassured. Deep down, we come to find ourselves in the presence of holiness, to be in the company of God. Now, for the most part, church is a relatively predictable experience. I consider it a good day if something surprising happens. Yet we never know whom we will meet when we enter a temple, a church, a sanctuary, or how that meeting will change our lives. Events of recent weeks prompt me to wonder anew what it means for the church to be a sanctuary. From the Latin sanctus, meaning holy, a sanctuary is a sacred place. And since the time of Constantine, the beginning of the 4th century, and by medieval church law, fugitives or debtors enjoyed protection. Codified in the 14th century, churches have offered immunity from arrest. A place of refuge, we create sanctuaries to protect birds, wildlife, sometimes even one another. For decades, the people of St. Columba's have opened our doors with the water ministry to provide showers, laundry, a meal, and community to all who enter. This week, water ministry leaders took on the unfortunate but necessary task of developing protocols to clarify our rights in the event that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, might show up at our doors. Similarly, the leaders of our refugee response ministry are redefining their task from a ministry of hospitality to one of protection. The presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church issued a letter 2 days ago informing us that due to the elimination of federal funds, the entire staff of Episcopal Migration Ministries has been let go. I know some of you have lost your jobs, and others fear that you soon will, as federal employees, or as those who work in nonprofits that rely in part on federal funds. And some of you are in the wretched position of firing colleagues. The rights of women, the rights of the LGBTQ+ community are being dismantled. Whatever the intent, the chaos feels cruel and scary. This is unfolding here now. If not to you, then the person next to you or two rows behind you. So there's much pain in this sanctuary at this hour. There's tenderness, there's heartbreak, there's worry, fear, there's loss. So too, there is love, there is Christ, there is courage and strength, there is one another. So how then shall we be together in this hour, in these days? What shall it mean for us to be the church, a sanctuary, together in holiness? COVID was quite literally a plague upon us. That said, through it, we at St. Columba's found a capacity to adapt and respond promptly. In similar fashion, it's time for us to center ourselves anew in our core values, practices, beliefs. A couple of weeks ago, Bishop Marianne Buddy called us to unity with one another, to honor the inherent dignity of every human being, to practice honesty in private conversation and public discourse, and to live with humility. She was speaking to the nation. To the church, our call, in addition to these three, is to live with love, with compassion, resilience, resistance. In all ways, we are to be a sanctuary, which is to say, a safe place for the most vulnerable to see one another, to see how precarious and frightening this is. So please, let's just check in with one another. Please reach out when you're feeling like you need some help. And those of you leading ministries, when you gather, please create time and space to check in and offer some extra prayers. Let's center ourselves in love. I believe God has given us all that we need for this hour. Bishop Marianne Buddy could not have known what would be required of her, but when the time came, she was ready. Not in the sense that she had prepared a good sermon, but ready in the sense that she was standing in the fullness of God. And we're all people of God. And at an hour we do not know, we may be called upon to bear witness to that truth. When I say God has given us what we need, let me assure you, there is a place, a temple, where you can find an old wise soul, an old woman, old man, that in their presence you shall feel yourself rooted in wisdom and connected to a story that far exceeds your mere life experience. We come to churches, temples, sanctuaries, because our hearts long for holiness and long for the kingdom of God. Well, dear ones, hear this. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you, said Paul to the church in Corinth. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Anna resides within you. She is that deep part of your soul that you feel as longing. You know Anna. She's that deep part of you looking forward to consolation, aching for the consolation of the people of God. And Simeon, too, resides within us. He's that deep part of our soul who trusts in the promise of God. In trust, he's ever vigilant, praying to be ready to see and to name the Christ in his appearing. Picture these two wise old souls padding about. They're each parts of one of us. They dwell within each of us. In quiet, we may discern the biblical characters within us. In our prayers, in our dreams, we may seek and find them in the temple within. All the while, we go out in search of belonging, love, truth. Our search brings us here to the temple, and here we learn the kingdom of God is within, always has been, always shall be. And this, dear ones, is very good news indeed. Now, since the earliest days of the church, the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon, has been sung as a prayer of personal devotion at the close of the day. You'll find it in the Book of Common Prayer, the BCP, on page 140, personal prayers. There's a BCP in front of you or at home or bcponline.org. I commend it to you. Pray it, that it may be true for you. In the traditional words, it goes like this. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. May you live this day rejoicing that you have in truth met the living Christ. Amen.